Hey everybody, it's Jim Mallard here. Welcome to the Mallard Report. The Mallard Report is recorded in front of a live virtual audience on the Duck Pond. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, live. Mallard.com. MALLIARD.com. One more thing before we start. Let me turn it over to my friend that you may know from Ancient Aliens and the Curse of Oak Island and many other things, Robert Clotworthy.
On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily of Evergreen Podcasts, KillerPodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group. On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily of Evergreen Podcasts, KillerPodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group.
Hey everybody, it's Jim Mallard here. Welcome to the Mallard Report. The Mallard Report is recorded in front of a live virtual
audience. Good evening, everybody.
Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, live. Mallard.com. MALLIARD.com.
Almost know what I'm doing. Yeah, okay. It asked me if I wanted the loop track, and I had no on, but apparently no means yes. I don't know. Some days these computers are great. My guest tonight is the UFO historian, UFO analyst, all-around UFO guy, William Poland, making his official guest appearance finally.
I'm very happy. How are you, Jim? Good to be here.
Calling in a couple different times and filling some air, but I always want to make sure that the people that
you're dragging a little on your end, Jim. Now you're frozen. And so frozen.
How about now?
Yeah, pretty good. A little better. Well, okay, a little better in spots, yeah. Now back to frozen.
Button shut.
Okay, now you're better, I think. Now you're back. It's spotty. Okay, now you're pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, here we go. Maybe.
Okay, I can start to hear you.
Beauty survive, right?
Still scratching.
Okay, so. Well, we got a second. UFO hearing was
okay. Now you're frozen again. Okay, now you're okay. Oh, I heard UFO hearing though.
Okay, Germantown. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but yeah, it's like an intermittent signal. It's
yeah, that's what comes off at, you know. Interference, move on. That's what it is.
It is absolutely insane because you'll go away and then we'll both go away and then one of us will come back.
Yeah.
Blame Canada. That's a good idea. Oh.
Yeah, you're right. It's intermittent. Sometimes I can hear you, sometimes I can't. Now you're frozen again. It's just...
Turn your camera off for a few minutes. Let's see if I can get at least it.
Okay.
Okay. You there?
I can hear you.
What in the world is going on with that?
Oh.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Who did we piss off already? Jeez, a piece.
I have a long list on my end, but
I don't even know it's.
Maybe it's UFO interference.
Okay. How about now? Wow, this is totally a new problem.
I can hear you.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I turned my camera off because I was wondering if it would straighten up the internet at least. At least I'm assuming it's on my end.
Oh, I can hear you clearer now.
Okay, let's get rolling. Yeah, well, hey, it's, hearing me is half the battle, right? It's better than not hearing me.
this is true. Yeah.
So I went.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the UFO hearing. Was that 2-3 weeks ago? When was that?
About 2 weeks ago. Yeah. If memory serves, I think it was on a Wednesday a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. That was all the talk for a while.
So what did you make of it all as being?
I mean, see, it was important. It was actually in the public eye. The government was having a hearing about UFOs. That was different. That doesn't happen very often at all. But as far as the information, which is just really recycled content, we've heard stories about crash retrievals, a crash retrieval program, alien spacecraft, recovered bodies. We've heard those stories since the 1970s. Nothing new. You had Fravor and my memory's shot, the other Navy pilot, that were testifying about their interactions with UFOs while they were on active duty. That's outstanding testimony. The other pilot. But Grush's testimony is really hearsay, it's secondhand, and he hasn't produced any documentation to prove it. So with no names, no dates, no leaders of these different organizations, it was just recycled material. So it was interesting to watch. I mean, I was actually on another program. We were watching it live. But it was like 3 hours long, and it was interesting, but I kept waiting for a new piece of tidbit of information to come out, and nothing surfaced. So about it.
You have to be in the skiff with them. That's the thing I learned. So they can talk about the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one would hope that would come, some information that he promised would come to light behind the scenes in some secret meeting. But will the public ever be able to access the info? I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, if that actually took place, and he does testify and gives names of leaders of different, you know, acronym organizations and whatnot, and provides documentation, I don't know if that's really good enough anyway, because the public won't be able to access that information. So it'd be kind of the same thing. So I don't know. Could this be a first step toward disclosure? I guess it could be.
Town Runner pops up a question.
Your audio broke out again. Yeah, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see my audio slowing down.
Or dragging.
Internet slowing down. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Wow. What is going on tonight? Need the kids to get back in school so they aren't on the internet all night. They're not even my kids. I mean, they are my kids, but I don't even have both of them.
Yep.
Too much YouTube usage.
Perhaps, yep. Yep.
Oh, I got to read you this question from Mr. Germantown Runner. These UFOs are these UFO hearings a cynical attempt by the government to distract the public from corruption scandals of the day? What do you think?
I guess you could say that, but that's reasonable. But the public is so easily distracted anyway. I mean, a news story breaks on Fox or CNN or, you know, you name the platform, and people forget about that story within 2 days. So people are easily distracted. Their attention span is not very long. So there's no need for the government to distract us. We do it ourselves. So I guess it's a possibility. So it's kind of akin to, in decades past, we know there was an effort to misinform the public due to government agencies and to misinform us about the UFO issue. Now that effort is not needed. We misinform ourselves. There's so much nonsense posted online that's not true. There's no need to misinform us as a general public. We do it to ourselves. So, but going back to the question, I guess it's a possibility, but I don't know if there's never, that wouldn't really be necessary, at least in my opinion.
Actually, hold on. I'm going to reset and see if I can get this internet to work right or better. So stand by. Because this is just not working for either of us. Hold on. Talk to you in a minute, if you can hear me.
Yeah, I heard you, Jim. If you're there, let me know if you need me to leave this and then rejoin. That'll help. Internet problems. Yep. Interference from MUFON. Again, yes.
Ooh, no, not oh. Bigby. No, no, no. There we go. Oh, there we go.
Outrageous.
Not Bigby. Oh, no. That's not going to work. Okay.
The A's are messing with us. That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, apparently, your post reached the Pentagon, apparently, so they were jamming my internet. Well, isn't that what we're supposed to say, right? It's always the
prevailing.
It couldn't be rural internet connections. It has to be the Pentagon. It has to be.
Yes, never mundane. No, it's always yeah, anomalous. It is all of it, even the hoaxes. Yeah. Huh. We were talking about the. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we were talking about the hearing, or actually, hold on, let me scroll back up here. If Germantown Runner would stop talking for 2 seconds, I could see it. the UFOs hearings being a cynical attempt by the government to distract us from the corruption and scandals of the day.
I guess that's a reasonable possibility. I don't I don't believe that, but I mean, I can always be wrong. So, and there's enough to distract us anyway. So, from everything. So, the UFO issue was certainly in past years an avenue for the military to hide secret technologies, because people would see, let's say, an SR-71 back in the 60s and think, well, it's a UFO. And so it was easier to cover things up then. But as far as being able to distract things from other more politically slanted things happening in the government, I don't know. But I guess it's a possibility we can't discount. So, but I don't think so.
Well, I mean, I think it definitely draws eyes, though, more so than other things. But I think there's enough members of Congress that if they wanted to distract us, they could say some all sorts of things and we'd be paying attention.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, so, yeah. It's interesting how far this has come. I mean, political leaders could never talk about UFOs at all until maybe 6 years ago. Now they're talking about it all the time. It's come full circle. Yeah, it's... You know, Barry Goldwater would love to be alive today. Talk about UFOs all the time.
So does that mean we're officially done looking for disclosure?
Who knows? They're still going to organize, you know, conferences to sell tickets about that, about disclosure. And I recall somebody on my blog page on Facebook commented, well, disclosure already happened. And my response was, well, you better send an email to Steve Bassett, tell him to retire. It's done. All the conferences need to go away. Don't sell any more books. Tell all the researchers to retire. Email Kevin Randall, Don Smith, tell him, we're done. We have the answers. Disclosure happened. We're done. Right. Disclosure didn't happen. They didn't tell us anything. And I don't even know what disclosure would happen. I mean, the government, we don't know what the government has. They may have nothing. So, but people in the UFO field are convinced the government's hiding something. I think they're hiding the fact that they don't know what's going on. That's what they're hiding. It's a cover-up of ignorance. But I don't know. That's just my opinion. So, but I don't see what happened at the hearings as disclosure. It was just recycled material on an open forum, pretty much.
Well, I agree with you. And I also remember an interview that I did, God, probably 7-8 years ago, Jim Mars, before he passed. And he says, would you believe the government if they told you?
Yeah. And that's a great point he made. Yeah.
They've lied about so much, so many other things. Would you believe them if they told you?
Yeah. That is a very logical point to make, that there's this belief, and it's been borne out by documentation, that there's been an effort by the U.S. government to lessen the importance of the UFO topic. There has been. The Robertson panel back in January of 1953, if memory serves, was along those lines, to advocate that there's nothing to UFOs, let's discount it, put it by the back burner, you know, what have you. So it was a cover-up. We don't trust the government, at least the public doesn't trust the government when they talk about anything else. And why are all of a sudden we supposed to believe them now? It seems unwise to me. Mr. Mars, that's a great point.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was... Oh, let's see. How do you respond to the flat earthers crowd and their, hold on, theories when you encounter them online?
either just don't address them, don't respond, or ask them a question like, well, the earth is flat, why are the other 8 planets? Why is everything else we see in the universe spherical in nature, and yet the earth is flat? Seems unsupportable. And they never bring forth any evidence to prove their point. It comes off like, I guess I'll use the word online, it's cultish. They have their belief, and no matter what evidence is put forth, they're going to double down and believe what they want to believe no matter what the evidence shows. So that's the flat earthers. That is the people that don't believe we went to the moon. People that believe in the Aztec UFO hoax, they there's no evidence for it, but they believe it. So I usually just let it go. It's just the internet's full of that stuff.
Well, I always laugh because you know as well as I do, if the edge of the earth existed, it'd be a tourist attraction.
I mean, Columbus sailed over here in 1492. Frank School, I learned something. You know, like they were sending boats all around the world at that point. Notice what I said there? Around the world?
Yeah, around it. Right there. Well played. You know, if there was a splat, who's at the bottom? Australia? New Zealand? I mean, let's answer these questions. I mean, why would a round satellite orbit a flat body of, well, what, how to describe it? If the Earth is flat and it was formed through accretion 4.5 billion years ago, why is the Earth only flat and all the other planetary bodies around it? No, it makes no sense whatsoever. No.
Well, that's because when the meteor hit it, it went flat, killed all the dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Oh,
for Christ's sake, that's good stuff.
Hate mail for junk at mallard.com. That's junk at mallard.com for the hate mail.
I get a few emails like that too.
do you think there is some type of UFO human base on Antarctica? Now, Germantown Runner, we had what's his name on a few months ago, and we know Antarctica is really cold and there's nothing down there, but I'll ask Bull.
Yeah. No, I've seen no evidence for it. Unless you ask Linda Moulton Howe, then she knows. There are pyramids in Antarctica. There's an alien base down there, whatnot. I've seen no evidence whatsoever for it, but lots of unsubstantiated claims. I've seen no evidence for that. So I'm at a loss for that. No, I mean, I'm like my wife Venus. I'll believe anything if there's evidence for it, but there's not, just stories and claims that, I mean, no, there's no evidence to support that. It's like the idea that there's towers on the moon or there's, you know, glass spires on Mars or what have you, or an underground base. And if there's evidence for it, put up or shut up. But that never happens. That was harsh.
I'm going to have to stop reading the duck pun or get my emotions under control so I'm not laughing at you when you're talking. Because they're just on a roll tonight. Our good friend Everett says, where'd it go? Maybe only flat planets can harbor life. Geo Observation says, the other planets are spheres. Talk about a hoax. They are all disc-shaped alien craft that create fake gravity. Geo.
Yes.
Is that a hat tonight, Geo, by the way? What is that? Well, I got to bring it up here because he's on it. Marine Mammal Center.
Yeah. And representatives of that craft run the large governments on Earth and infiltrated the medical establishments to make our COVID vaccines poisonous to us all, and they run the government. There's a new world order, and there's aliens in the middle of the Earth, and the moon is hollow. It's artificial. Right. Okay.
The moon is cheese. It's not hollow.
I apologize. That's right. That's a scientifically valid statement, my friend. There you go.
Just as accurate as any of the rest of them tonight. So
there you go. Yeah. That's the UFO. I'm using the term public because there's not really a UFO field, and I'm coming off very cynical, but a field is the field of study, like geology, physics, astronomy. Those are real fields of study that take a level of educational prowess to examine them. They tend to cast aside false content. That is not the UFO field. The UFO, I call it a public. The UFO community doesn't apply either, because a community suggests a group of people that are working toward a single problem to actually get along. And the community, UFO community, doesn't get along. It's very fractured. There's a lot of polarization. It's very political. So I tend to use public, a very general term, because to describe it. But that's what we have nowadays. So for every grounded person, and I guess a good way to look at it, for every grounded person that are actually trying to work on the issue, there's like a million that aren't. They're just celebrities. And the people that aren't liked in the field tend to be the same people that are working on the problem. The ones that are actually casting aside false content, they're looking at things that are in ground reality, they're not believing any lies, they're fake news, and that is not popular nowadays. What's more popular is people who believe everything. And that's why this UFO issue is never going to get answered, really, at this point. Not like this.
So I've got to suggest you change it back to UFO field, but there's a particular type of field that you need to think of when you say field. It's the field with a bunch of bulls in it.
Yeah, a messy field, yeah, a minefield. No, that was UFO Twitter, that's right, yeah.
Just a thought. Of all the UFO theories and stories that have been suggested to you, which ones do you discount and which one do you want the people to pay further attention to?
But the older I get, the more I become cynical about the ET theory, the idea that they're flying here from another galaxy, let's say 20 light years away. But I temper that with the idea that the physical laws we know of makes that possibility pretty difficult to embrace. But we don't know everything about the universe. So perhaps they know roundabout ways to get around those laws and you travel across those distances. A multidimensional theory, that's out there. Time traveling, that's out there. These are things that entertain possibilities that we haven't proven or disproven either. So all those theories might hold true. I firmly believe that there's not one theory that'll explain the entire enigma. It's going to be some conglomeration of a bunch of different ideas to explain what's happening, the people are reporting. So, and along with that, it makes sense to, it's like a good analogy is if you're a geologist or an astrophysicist or an archaeologist, you're going to use every tool at your disposal to accomplish your work. In the UFO field, there's a section of people in the community that don't like science. There's a section that embrace more wooey points of view or embrace science to the exclusion of anything else. And it doesn't make any sense to not use every possible approach to look at the issue. So, I think time travel, interdimensional, ET, those are all reasonable possibilities, but we need some physical evidence. We need more than just story. We have a ton of stories over 80 years. What do we have that's physical that has proven alien visitation has occurred? We don't have anything. So we need to move past the anecdotal, but we have not been able to do that. So that was a long answer. I apologize.
No, you're good. It's a good answer. No. I've got another theory to run by you. We'll be ready for this one. Okay.
You got it.
The Dark Side of the Sun.
Wasn't that a BBC movie?
that's gonna. Well, Pink Floyd can't make any more albums. That'd be their next one.
Yeah.
So you said the UFO public. I'll go for your word because you're right. Is fractured and all this other stuff. Is it savable, or should it just remain how it is?
I believe it can be recovered. I think so. The polarization has always kind of been there. If I put on my historical hat, I go back to the 60s, prior to the arrival of MUFON. You had AFRO and NICAP in operation. You had Alan Hynek, James McDonald, Coralie Jim Lorenzen. You had people working on the problem in a very scientific way, as best they could. And there were the contactees, the George Adamskys, which were a little more out there, a little more wooey. And they had their followers. And then you had the followers of people that were looking at more a scientific angle. So the polarization has always been there. What changed is that, one, MUFON arrived by 1970, 69, excuse me. And then the internet in the early 90s really allowed people to communicate over vast distances around the planet. And then they put up their position. They became polarized and they just ran the gamut. It's akin to politics. Politics was always a little polarized a little bit to greater or lesser degrees. But then come the age of the internet, that situation ramped up. It's really polarized now because people are exposed to information all over the place. They're constantly stimulated, and they embrace what they want to embrace that confirms their belief. And they don't consider other information that may be contrary to that. Same thing in UFOs. So, but it can be recovered, I think, as long as people are able to discern the nonsense from the valid, which is easier, which is not that difficult. People just don't, are not willing to do that. So, yeah, that look, Jim.
I do, because Geo Observation posted a comment in the chat room, which I didn't laugh at, but it's really good. It doesn't look, if it doesn't support my theories, it's not science. It's government disinformation.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I mean, people are going to believe what they want to believe. I mean, I'm here, I'm wearing a hat that says believe. You know, I don't want to believe, I want to know. And it takes real information, real evidence to know what's going on or not going on. We have 80 years of opinions and stories and beliefs, but that's fine and all. But, you know, all the other sciences, all the other fields of study, they're endeavoring to know, to find definitive answers. Not this field. It's more akin to, and I have no trouble saying this because I'm an atheist, but it comes off like a religion, where it's belief-based and void of physical evidence to prove definitive answers. It's much more of a belief-based structure like a religion than it is a science.
You tipped my hand there, because you knew that's where we're headed tonight.
Agreed. I'll be out there.
Okay. Because I'm sure somebody out there is saying, Jim, you're in the middle of spiritual summer. How are you going to make this UFO guy fit into spiritual summer? And that's why. This unending belief in community, that especially the people that buy any number of people's books, follow them on the lecture circuit and this, that, and the other, like there's some kind of, we'll use the atheist term, God.
Oh, Lord. Oh, boy,
we're going to get in some trouble. But, yeah, it's remarkable to watch as an outsider, right? Because that's what I am. But, I mean, obviously I'm kind of on the inside because I know you and some others. But, like, I don't invest a lot of time into it. So when you're just kind of browsing through and you see this guy, hey, I've got a new book, and then you read what are they now? Well, they're not tweets anymore, but whatever they are, underneath, and hey, I just bought it. And then you read a couple months later, you see the same guy says, hey, I got a new book, and you read it, and hey, I got it. I'm like, wow, okay.
Promotion. Like, it really is. Yeah, the UFO field has become an entertainment industry. It's an entertainment industry. So it's become promotion of books, content, festivals, conferences, whatnot, and people embracing that. They follow who they follow. They believe who they believe, and they have their fan bases are ardent and dedicated. And that would be actually, that wouldn't be an issue really if these researchers, these writers were examining valid content with their integrity intact. That it's not. They're looking to gain celebrity, notoriety, make a buck. That's their focus. Seems to me, because you know, any internet platform you go to, it's all, I have a new book. I'm appearing at this festival tomorrow. I'm giving a lecture, yada, yada, yada. Everyone taking selfies, everyone smiling. Where are the peer-reviewed papers? Where's the research? Where's the physical evidence?
Not even peer-reviewed. Where are the actual boring side of these, you know, the cases, the data, the pour out of the information that isn't in book form, that, you know, is wrote in the narrative, so to speak.
I'm not going to drop names tonight, and I'll get negative emails too, and I'm used to that, dime a dozen. But, you know, I want valid information and peer-reviewed papers. I'm going to seek out Rich Hoffman, Kevin Randall, Kurt Collins, John Greenwald. These are people that are actually working on the issue, and by no coincidence, they're not liked in the UFO field. Because they don't embrace the nonsense. They're about actually working on the issue. If I want to hear about nonsense, then I'll go follow Giorgio Tsoukalos, or go to an Ancient Aliens tour, or UFO cruise, or join MUFON. You know, for every Rich Hoffman and Kevin Randall, there's 10 or 20 guys that are just celebrities that are viewed as researchers, but they're not. They're just putting out another book and...
Sorry, I'm doing my Giorgio Tsoukas impersonation. Yeah.
Nice. Well played. Even just some critically thought ideas. I mean, you take any field of study, it takes a long time to produce a book. Writing a book is a royal pain in the butt. It's a logistical nightmare. It takes a lot of dedication. Yet despite that, Nick Redfern turns out 5 books a year. How well researched are each of those books? I don't think they're very well researched. If we turn out that much content all the time, every year, year after year, it suggests that people are just spreading and promoting nonsense, peppered in with some valid content. Now, I'm not throwing the entire topic out the window. I'm not. There's a core of quality information that's unsolved, but it's surrounded by all this other nonsensical stuff. And that's to the detriment of all of the entire field. Just is, yeah.
So I guess the question becomes, you kind of mentioned some names, but...
I have more names.
Well, no, I was just sitting here. Sorry. Geo Observation popped up there. All my books are peer-reviewed by my fellow paranormal grifters. And
yeah, I guess. Yeah, accurate statement there.
There just blows my mind again. Now, I was just thinking, how do we get the cream of the crop information out there in a better format to people?
I take the approach, programs like this wonderful program tonight, or not because I'm on the program, but you have great guests on the program. I support a few programs that promote quality information, critical thinking, so people could actually use this gray matter in their head. And then I like and support different organizations on Facebook and Twitter or different platforms and promote their efforts because they're actually promoting quality work. And I pay no attention to the nonsense. That's all I can do. I found that suggesting to someone that they look into, let's say UAP studies or some other group that's looking at this stuff in a valid way, if I suggest it to them by email or directly during a comment, they push back against that. They're not willing to embrace the content. It's a very scary time now that people are not willing to consider other content. On my blog, I get pushback for saying, I don't know. I don't get that. When someone doesn't know, it's an opportunity for research. It's an opportunity to learn. And yet now it's viewed as just ignorance. And ignorance is an opportunity to learn. But whenever I say, I don't know my blog, boy, it's a open season on me. I don't know what the problem is. I mean, if I don't know, then it's time to read a book and look for information and learn. But,
if you're going to rip on somebody for not knowing, well, do you know the answer? Because that's a teachable
moment. Yeah.
I mean, that's my book. Right? If I don't know and Paul knows, he says, hey, Jim, it's gray matter, not green matter in your head.
I get pushback. My wife gets the same kind of pushback where we write a blog or something about an issue that's negative in nature that needs to be called out, a situation that's to the detriment of the field. And she gets called out or I get called out by somebody saying, you're calling these people out for a negative choice or unprofessional point of view or whatever, this and the other. And my point of view is always like, okay, if I see an issue in the UFO field, I'm going to call it out and address it. If I don't do that, then I'm part of the problem because I'm not using my platform to call out nonsensical stuff. It gets me a ton of pushback. But again, I have the luxury. I'm not trying to sell a book. I don't appear at conferences. I'm not trying to make a buck. I don't make any money at this. I don't care what people think. But I care about valid content. And... So it constantly gets me pushback, calling the negative and the BS out. But sorry, it's a difficult minefield to meander through. It is.
To take those book, those blogs, and slap it onto a book at Amazon and hit the circuit.
I've had a couple of people ask me to write a book, summarize my blogs in book form. Maybe I guess it'd be kind of cool, but I wouldn't do a circuit. No. I think I've made I think I can count all the lectures I've given live at a conference. I can count them all in two hands, maybe six or seven in my lifetime. That's it. Yeah, won't do it. Hey,
that's more than me. I spoke at my own event. Does that count?
Sure does. Absolutely. Yep. Sure does.
Germantown Runner wants to know, have you ever witnessed a UFO, UAP? It's always a UFO to me. If so, tell us about it.
No, I've never seen anything that I couldn't identify. Never experienced anything anomalous. Which... So
where does the interest come from then?
Wanting to know. It's an unsolved enigma. People are reporting things they can identify in the skies. The majority are mundane and identifiable by everyday phenomena. But there's a core of unexplained events that are anomalous and suggest possibly otherworldly events. That's fascinating in of itself. Having never seen one, I have the luxury of being objective within reason. I mean, if I'd seen a UFO, then it would become a more personal thing for me, having a personal experience with that along those lines. But having never seen one, my point of view on the topic is formulated as a result of interviewing witnesses. People have asked him things. And so my fascination is just trying to solve an unsolved enigma. I always use the word problem, which gets misconstrued consistently online. I use the Cor Lorenzen from Acro, the late Cor Lorenzen, used the term the UFO problem. Her point of view was that, you know, you're in college or high school, when you have a math problem, it's an unsolved problem. It's a problem to be solved. I view the UFO issue the same way. It's unsolved. So I don't refer to it as a phenomenon so much as a problem. It's an unsolved mystery that needs to be examined. But that's where the fascination comes from. So part of me wishes I would see a UFO before I pass away, which is approaching pretty soon. But part of me doesn't. Because then I can be dispassionate more than if I had witnessed something myself.
Don't worry. You seen one. No, wait. Never mind. Bad joke. No, I was just thinking, I'll ask Sherman Tonsor and get back to my fault here in a minute. How much of the entire UFO field is a PSYOPs? 1%, 25%, more, less? Well, I guess is less would be nothing. Is a PSYOP.
Put on a,
yeah.
Gosh. I don't know. The numbers are odd. There's a whole set of numbers in the UFO issue that are troubling or illogical. Every UFO researcher I've interviewed or I've been personal friends with over the years has always said to me, at least 75% of events go unreported. That's horrible. That's a ridiculously low number. The percentage of researchers, known people in the field, they're actually researching the issue, conducting work on the issue, I think probably less than 10%. And the number of cases that are actually investigated by MUFON is somewhere around that same number, 10%. Because they have so few field investigators. Maybe they spend more time actually researching cases instead of trying to sell t-shirts, they might get somewhere along the line. But sorry, that was cynical. The focus is off investigations. If that was the sole focus, we'd be a lot further down the line. But unfortunately, we're not. The focus is on selling books and memberships and t-shirts and celebrity and that's not investigation. That's celebrity. That's an industry. And that's where we're at. So.
So I think I asked you this one of the times I had you on filling some time, but I'm going to ask again so we can get it part of this one. Are you more interested in the UFOs pre Wright Brothers, pre airplanes, or the current ones?
I think some of the strongest cases occurred between like the World War II era, between that time and let's say early 90s. You had Roswell, Bentwaters, Lake and Heath, you had Socorro, you had Dexter, Michigan. You have some multiple witness cases, radar visual cases that are really strong, multiple witnesses. You have a lot of those things going on. Prior to World War II, you're relying on secondhand testimony. The witnesses are all passed away. No physical evidence. You're relying on the integrity of journalists writing things in newspapers. I'm not really comfortable relying on that. But after 1990, after the 90s, when the internet came to vogue, then you have a platform where anyone can make up a story online, post it on Facebook, and there people say, "Well, that's a great event. That's amazing." And when they could easily just make it up. Not everything is true on the internet, despite what people think. So I'm more enamored with World War II era to like early 90s. That's a pretty strong era there for unexplained cases.
What did you just say? Everything is not true on the internet?
So that, yes, you know, I love that. Not everything is true on the internet. Yeah.
So that email I got from the Nigerian prince earlier today giving me $25 million, is it true either?
I get promo quotes from Nigerian girls who were like 20 years old all the time that are well endowed. No, delete, 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 delete. So, yeah, happens all the time.
But I'll do this now. Ever since I put podcaster in my profile at LinkedIn, I've got free messages every week at least. Do you need podcast promotion? No, scammer. Sure. Go away. Go away.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah. They find you. Yeah, they find you.
Okay.
I'm asking
because Everett popped it up there. He's being cynical, and I love it. How many YouTube videos do I have to watch to qualify as a UFO expert?
None. You can label yourself as such on the internet. You have people like Ryan Sprague calling themselves a UFO journalist. He doesn't hold a degree in that field of study. He's not a journalist. You have people that are, what's the other one? Alejandro Rojas calls himself a UFO journalist. He's a real estate agent by trade. He's not a journalist. He didn't go to school for that. That's a misrepresentation. UFO expert is a term that's thrown out everywhere. I don't know how anyone can be an expert when the entire question is unsolved. An expert suggests somebody who knows the answers. Nobody knows the answers. You can be an expert in the data, like a David Martyr or a Kevin Randall, but to no answers, nobody knows any answers to any of this. No, not at all. So, yeah, that's good comment, Everett.
So, Germantown Runner just popped up about 65 minutes until the Mega Millions lottery is drawn. It's $1.5 billion tonight.
Man, billions and billions.
You know, you probably end up with $200 million after that, but
the government has to, they need to take money out of that to cover up the UFO issue. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. What would you do with $200 million? Oh.
There you go. Yeah.
You would disappear and we never hear from you again, right? If you had $200
million? Oh, no, I'd still do what I do. I would do what I do. I think Venus and I might move to Tasmania or New Zealand or Roswell and take up living over there. So, you know, maybe I'd buy the UFO Museum in Roswell and refurbish it. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah.
Right. Another question here from Germantown Run. What's your opinion of George Knapp? And Prek is out there in the UFO field in Vegas. I knew that. And William knew.
God. You know, prior to the 80s, he was a dogged investigative journalist. Then he got the Bob Lazar story going on and did a lot of work on all those angles. I've never met the gentleman in person, so I only have a viewpoint from the information he's put out. So he's been in the know for a while. He's got some notoriety, obviously. Now he's aligned with Jeremy Corbell, so it seems like the Bob Lazar story broke in 1989, if memory serves, with Knapp, and then since then, gradually, slowly, it seems like Knapp has embraced the celebrity and pushed away from the journalism. That's just my opinion, but the Opal field is the same players all the time. George Knapp, Jeremy Corbell, Ryan Sprague, Christopher Mellon, it's the same people all the time. Nothing new. And they have their new podcast, and they're selling books, and they're everywhere. The fact that George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell did at the Opal hearings, I found that embarrassing. They're podcasters. What are they doing there? I crowd was cringeworthy seeing them there behind the witnesses. They have no business being there. It would be akin to having a political roundtable in front of Congress and having somebody from a reporter from CNN and Fox there. No, that's not their place. So it seems like Knapp has gone from a dogged investigative journalist and slowly morphed into a journalist that's involved in celebrity. I guess that's an answer. I don't know.
Yeah, that answers. Germantown Runner points out it'd be about $600 million after taxes. So
he'd likely correct. Yeah. Or she is. Yeah, likely. Yeah. Yeah, they take the chunk out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a billion. I mean, you know, lose most of it.
Yeah.
If I got $600 million, Germantown Runner, you'd be on the payroll, and we'd probably be doing shows like 5 nights a week because I'd have you out hunting guests and preparing, and I can just sit here and talk to people. Just so you know,
that would pay for a lot of Jim Mallard Report T-shirts. Man,
that too.
Yeah, I'd get a agreed.
And then I'd sell them for $50, mark them up. and then try to convince you all that I need a G7 so I can fly places.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So you have the Facebook page. I'm trying to make sure I get, if anybody wants to read all this, make sure we get that out there.
Oh, it's cleverly entitled William G. Pullen.
Oh,
of all things, the blog page. That's right. Yeah, that's where I post my opinions as skeptical as they can be. So, my wife Venus and I co-run our UFO group, which admittedly is a boring group because it's just data. But if you want to look at that, it's behold, You For Real, a historical review. It's just a historical a group of just sighting reports, book reviews, things like that. It's very cut and dry, very boring. So, you know, and Venus does her own work. She runs the San Antonio Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization on Facebook too. And she posts her thoughts and blogs. And so we're always active in the field, but she's seen anomalous events. So her point of view is different than mine. Mine, I've never seen anything. So I come off as very, you know, deadpan and black and white, which is fine with me, but, you know, doesn't buy me any fans. So I have an anti-fan club somewhere with a pretty good number of members, too.
I'll have to track that down and post this interview there. Geo observation points out to be enough to bribe Congress into disclosure. I'm not wasting my money.
Yeah, two of us. Yeah.
Zuckerberg versus Elon Musk in a cage match. Who wins? Probably the referee.
No. Yeah. Not us. Yeah, we have to watch that. No, that would be interesting. Yeah. Musk might try to impregnate him. I don't know.
And then put up $400 million of their own money, and we'll see who.
Who's your richer guy now? Is it still Musk? I guess so.
I'm sure Germantown Run will tell us here in a minute.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I believe it is Musk, but, you know. Well, Twitter kind
of
private.
But we need that. Yeah.
We don't know how much it actually is for sure. so
through this all, when did you start investigating UFOs? I guess I need to back up and ask the first question first.
Late 1980s. I was actually a member of APRO, which is the Aerial Phenomenon Research Organization, which was run by Coral and Jim Lorenzen. That formed in 1952, and it was in existence till late 80s when the Lorenzens passed away. And I was a member like the last 4 or 5 years that they were in operation, and then they folded, and then I started just doing my own research, just reading everything I could, peer-reviewed papers, journals from NICAP and things like that, and just got more and more into it. And it's not really a bit of an obsession. It's just a keen interest. I have a vested interest in this unsolved enigma because, to my mind, everything that's happened on the planet has originated here. Every disaster beyond, you know, the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs, every other major event has been something that originated here. If alien visitation is proven, that's for the outside. That's non-terrestrial. That is, by definition, that is alien. That is not us. That has nothing to do with our planet. To my mind, that's fascinating. So it started in the late 80s, and I've been going nonstop ever since. But I didn't go online until 2015. So nobody really knew who I was other than a few researchers here and there. Now they know who I am, to their detriment.
Germantown Runner pops up here. Elon's real-time net worth as of the 6th, which was a couple days ago, $232.5 million. So, or billion, excuse me.
Billion, yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Not too shabby.
He could send me $600 million. He wouldn't miss
sure it. Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's doing well.
Huh. No, Germantown Runner pops up here. The richest people are closing in on $1 trillion of combined net worth.
That's crazy. The amount of money that's, you know, that's not in circulation. Yeah. Yeah. The rich get richer and the rest of us just kind of try to pay the bills. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure I don't have enough dollars in my, well, bills in my wallet to spell trillion if I gave right letters on them.
I see, that's two of us. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Make a serious amount of money.
Yeah.
I think did I ask you what your favorite breakfast is? Because we're at that time. So I want to make sure we get you out of here.
You never asked me that, no.
Oh, well, you know, you've listened to the show, so you knew that was coming. So what is it?
Oh, yeah. Hash browns, scrambled eggs, toast with butter, bacon, and orange juice. Good evening.
Plain and simple, but it is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be happy to list. Well, William, thanks for being able to listen to me now that you can hear me. And
you're very welcome. I've been looking forward to going on your program so long, so it's all good. So, not the rest of you.
And thanks to the boys and girls at the Pentagon for letting the show go on. Talk to you later. I'll be getting another .mil email here pretty soon. Jeez.
Yeah, I will too. I'll check in the morning. Okay.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a good show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Take a few moments to subscribe, share, all the fun stuff. You know how to do it. I don't have to tell you. Just be ready for next week. It'll be sooner than you think.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right? And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.